For scripture today, I'll be reading Galatians 5, 5 through 15. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through a whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and then emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another, humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Our speaker today is a good friend of mine, who I just learned to know in the last, 5 years maybe? Through Ohio Midnight Women, she spoke at a retreat, and she spoke at a day of inspiration. And I'm not going to introduce her, because she's going to come forward, and I'm going to have a prayer, and then she's just going to tell a little bit of her background. Father, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for our willing servant, Larissa, as she comes and speaks to us today. Give her the power that she has, give her the wisdom that she has, and whatever she is going to share with us. And God be with her. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to try that again because, as you know, I'm a little on the crazy side. And I'm going to say good morning. And I just want you all to, as the hymn said, to praise him. Give me a good, healthy good morning. So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, see, now we have a church. Okay.
Amen.
Good morning. What an honor and a joy it is to be here with you this morning. I am the... Just okay. Technical difficulty. Okay, can you hear me now? Awesome. Great. I'm going to keep talking until he comes back up here. Tell me I'm doing something wrong. Amen. So, it's an honor to be with you this morning, and I'm anointed to not preach long, so God is good like that. He is awesome like that. Thank you for your introduction, because my story goes in with the sermon this morning. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit out of Galatians. I'm a church planner, and my church for 8.5 years was in Cleveland. I started in a small suburb in a nursing home where I was asked to watch one of my friends who was in seminary, her mother. She was going on a cruise, and her mother was in the nursing home, and she had Alzheimer's. And her mother was bedridden, and she lost her ability to even speak. And so, when she asked me, Larissa, will you please go and watch over my mother? I said, who better than to try my sermons out with somebody who can't even tell me, no, that's really bad. And so I was preaching, and I was praying over her and believing God for miracles. And before I knew it, the nurses and some of the other people, can you please come and pray over my mother and for my father who's here in the nursing home? And the nurses and aides would come, and they gather every day. I'd come, and they'd sit and have Bible study with me. And from there, victory was birthed. And we went in 3 months from having just 8 people in service to 80. And then from there, we went to a little bit over 150 because family members were coming to have church with their loved ones in the nursing home. And of all places, we moved out of the nursing home into a Jewish synagogue, go figure. And there God just increased, and I asked the Lord to give me those that are rejected, those that the church hurt are those that no one wants. So Victory was made up of prostitutes and former addicts and those that were in the midst of scandals and husbands who beat their wives and the wives that loved them. That's who I wanted, was those that were addicted to drugs and anything else. And we would see the slow, gradual change of how the women would come dressed, how the husbands would grab their wives' hands during prayer. We saw a transformation, and then this past February, I was at a pastor's retreat, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly, "Leave your kin behind." And I said, well, I had brought my sister with me to this retreat. I said, okay, Lord, I won't ever bring her again. Done. And he said, no, leave your kin behind. And something just stuck with me. And I got home, and as I began to press into prayer, the Lord said, you know, it's time to close your church, and you need to move from your mother's home. And now, number one, I didn't want to leave her cooking. Let's just be real. And home is always home. But I was disobedient. And so the Lord had to make it where Victory closed down. And it did. And so from there, I began to tell my family, it's time for me to go. Now I'm the baby of the family. So that did not sit well at all. My mother said, that's not God. Nope, you are staying home. And my brothers were worried. My sister, but one day, just healing from Victory, I went to sit at Day Spring Christian Fellowship in Massillon. I was driving 45 minutes every Sunday to go to church. But you'll travel when the word is good. You'll travel where God is. And so the Lord just began to do a work, and he said, this is home. You need to move here. I said, I don't know anyone in Massillon, Lord. I'm a city girl, not a country girl. I wear heels, Lord, not cowboys. But lo and behold, he began to open doors, and my pastor said, Larissa, if you need... I hear you, Lord. And so, if you need a job, my pastor said, I'll get you a job. If you need a place to live, Larissa, I got you. And I heard the Lord clearly say, don't let him get you a job, and don't let him get you a place to stay. That way, every door I open, you know it's from me, and that you won't have any doubt I called you here. And surely that next Sunday, this man came up to me and shook my hand and said, did God really call you to come out this way? I said, he did. He prayed for me, and within 2 days, I had a great job. And then the same man came up to me and said, do you have a place to live? I said, not yet. He said, have you ever considered Oroville? I don't know what an Oroville is. I don't know, no. So he had his wife take me and show me this place. And the funny thing is I had driven past this house. And I said, wow, Lord, that's the house I'm going to live in right there. That was the house they offered me. And that's the house I live in today. Amen. I'm now in Oroville. I've gone from city to country. And last Tuesday was my last day at this job. The Lord has been calling me back to ministry, and it was so funny because my head supervisor, we were in her office, and she just looked at me and said, Larissa, your passion is ministry. It's not here. And that was such a confirmation. I just got back from Indiana and ministering there for 5 days, and I'm grateful to God for that. But the best thing I can do today is to be myself and to be honest with you and the things that God has shared with me to share with you. There are many of you here that I believe that the Lord wants to take the lid off. He wants to take the chains off, and he wants you to get back in the race. There is still work for you to do here. And I'm going to tell you, God is going to do that work today. Many of you have been called. But the question is, what has stopped you from running your race? What has come alongside you and become a distraction? What has stopped you from putting your Nikes back on and joining in what God has called you to do? Now, I'm going to read out of a voice translation. I know that's not traditional, but I'm not a traditional gal. Because I like how it reads here. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, starting at chapter 5, it says, "We, on the other hand, continue to live through the Spirit's power and wait confidently in the hope that things will be put right through faith. Here's the thing. In Jesus, the anointed, whether you are circumcised or not, makes no difference. What makes a difference is faith energized by love. Who has impeded your progress and kept you from obeying the truth? You are off to such a good start. I know for certain the pressure isn't coming from God. He keeps calling you to the truth. How many of you may be low on faith? Your faith tank was once full, but now it's almost empty. You're almost on a quarter tank. Something has stopped you, whether it's death of a loved one, whether it's been discouragement, whether it's been disappointment in life. You've made the choice to get out of the race. But I came today to be your faith gas station. I'm here to help you get filled back up on the things of God. Some of you were called to be voices for Christ for such a time as this. Some of you were called to make hospital visits. Some of you were called to heal. Some of you were called to preach the gospel. Some of you are called to do more than what you're doing, but something has stopped you from running your race. Your faith is low, and you some seem like God is so distant, but He's here today to tell you that I want to take your hand and get you back in the race. That what you thought was once dead, He wants to resurrect again. Faith can do it if you would only believe. You see, who has stopped you from running your race? The enemy has a threefold ministry. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I'm here to tell you that God says you're not fighting for the victory. You're fighting for a place of victory. You're fighting from that place already in victory. He just needs you to stand back up and get back in that place. You see, life comes to discourage us. Me, myself, when I was 35, I had a life-changing surgery. They found 3 tumors in me the size of footballs. And I went from being a size 4 to being a size 16. I was rushed to the Cleveland Clinic Hospital, where they tried to draw blood out of me. And they said, "Oh my goodness, you should have been dead 3 days ago. I should have been dead that previous evening." They rushed me into surgery. And they had to do a partial hysterectomy. I had 22 blood transfusions. 15 to start. But when they took me out and I was in recovery, all of my organs collapsed. And I was bleeding internally. So they had to take me back. And they had to put mesh inside of me to hold up everything. I had to learn to walk again. I was in the hospital for over 6 weeks. I had no feeling. I even lost my color. Yes, that is possible. That is possible. I was down to about a size 1. I had nothing to me. You would think, oh, that God saved your life. That would stop you the risk from running the race. But what stopped me was I was engaged to be married. And this man came to me and said, as I was laying in the hospital, "I don't want to marry someone who has cancer. I can't take care of someone. I'm too young for that." But then my whole life did not have cancer. The tumors were cancer-free. But I was dealing with an emotional blow. My self-esteem was shot. I looked like roadkill. Now I know what that looks like out here. On a daily basis. I was done. God had no more use for me. I was not alone. I was broken. But then I thank God for my mom, who saw that I was hurting. We had over 800 people coming to this wedding. They had to send out the cancel notice. It wasn't just because He thought I had cancer. He was Italian. And his entire family hid the fact that I was African American from his grandparents, who were Sicilian. And they threatened and said, it's either your inheritance or it's her. The money went out, and I didn't. So I had to deal with that. Hurt on top of hurt on top of rejection. I told God I'd never love again. I told him, I know I'm no use to you. I stopped praying. I couldn't even open up a Bible. I was that wounded. Until one day, my mother, who has fed the hungry at Lee Heights for over 35 years, said to me, Larissa, I want you to get dressed and come and volunteer with me down at the Hunger Center. I'm not going on. No. 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 She said, I guarantee you, if you take your mind off of your problems and you begin to help someone else, you'll start to heal. So slowly I got dressed. My hair was looking like James Brown. Didn't care at that time. I went down there and I started packing food bags. Then I began to see people come in who were hopeless. I began to see people come in who didn't have any electricity and was living by candlelight because they couldn't pay their bills. I started seeing men and women who had no limbs, no arms, no hands. And I started going down there every day with her, and I started recognizing I was not focusing on my own problems. But slowly God was putting me back in the race. I began to find myself thanking God that I had legs that I could walk, because now I know what it is not to walk. I began to thank God for the ability to have strength in my arms, even though they were bruised with IV marks from blood transfusions and medicine. I thank God. A little bit of praise goes a long way. I was slowly getting back in grace. I was slowly beginning to see what God could do. The doctors mended me up on the inside. But God restored my heart. He restored my faith. He let me know I still have use for you in all your little imperfections, because I love using cracked pots because my light shines best in them. What has stopped you from running your race? Has tradition stopped you from running your race? Has woundedness stopped you from running your race? You see, I gave up on the fact that I felt God didn't need me anymore. When victory closed its doors because a family came in, knowing the type of congregation we had, and started offering them drugs every Saturday, and sending messengers to meet me at church on Sundays and saying, guess what? Nobody's coming. My church was wiped out because something stopped them from running their race. Well, God, surely victory's closed. You don't have any use for me now. I can't even keep a church open. Lord, I thought I was doing your will. I didn't want to run my race anymore. What stopped me was I began to look through the eyes of man instead of looking through the eyes of faith. I did my part and I sowed seed, and those that used to walk the streets gave their life to Jesus. Those in the nursing home who were seeking God for healing received healing. But discouragement and looking at things through the eyes of man, I'm no good. Lord, I couldn't. I'm so not worthy of ever standing and mounting a pulpit again. But then one day, when the Lord began to tell me, you're getting back in this race, you still have a voice. I believe that you and this congregation today are not here by accident, but you still have a voice. He wants to stir up in you what was once lying dormant. He wants to break chains off of you that has stopped you from running your race. He wants to pull back every veil that is blinding you to how wonderful and how wonderful and how of use you are to the kingdom. You are the apple of God's eye. And there's work for Crown Hill to do. There is work for you to do, not only in the community, but amongst those sitting next to you that may be hurting and you can't even tell it. What has stopped you from running your race? He says, I know for certain the pressure is coming from me. He keeps calling you to the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that you are called to do the work of the Lord. The truth is that you are blessed and highly favored, that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You see, when the Lord went into the wilderness for 40 days, the enemy tempted him at his weakest point. He was fasting for 40 days. He was in the wilderness for 40 days. And then you see the enemy coming and saying, here's some Kentucky Fried Chicken, let's eat. Here's some real, not that instant stuff, mashed potatoes. If you are who you say you are, then do this. If you are the Son of God, if you are, the enemy was attacking his identity. And if he could get him to doubt who he was, then he knew he had. Do you know your identity in Christ? Do you know who you're called to be? Before you were Christian, you were a son and daughter of Christ. Before you were pastors, elders, leaders, you were a daughter and a son of the Most High God. It's not about a title, but it's about who you are in Him. Who are you today? What is it that God has called you to do that you have stopped doing? What race did you get out of because discouragement came, or someone said something to you that made you feel less than? In seminary, I had a woman that was a professor of mine who told me, you'll never pastor a church. You'll never do the work of God. You're not good enough. But I thank God that He views me through the blood and that He qualifies those that He calls. He equips those that He calls. The fishermen, the disciples, they didn't go to seminary. They just were obedient. Are you being obedient to what God is calling you to do? Have you sat in your prayer chair in the morning doing your devotionals, feeling that nudge to be an intercessor? God is calling you. Are you the one who has that telephone ministry when you call people right at the exact moment they need to hear a word from God? Is He calling you? Are you that one that doesn't have that title in the church, but you know you're supposed to go to the hospital and visit people? He's calling you. Are you that couple that God has called to reconcile marriages and to help people along the way? Are you that young person that thinks you're too young to do God's work? I advise you to look at the three Hebrew boys. I advise you to look at Jeremiah. I advise you to look at David. Age is nothing in Christ. He's just looking for a yes. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. The Bible goes on to say in verse 13, brothers and sisters, God has called you to freedom. Hear the call and do not spoil this gift by using your liberty to engage in what your flesh desires. Instead, use it to serve each other as Jesus taught through love. Are you free?
Are you free? Are you chain free? Things that had you bound, are you free? It's one thing to ask God for forgiveness, but it's another to receive His forgiveness. We condemn ourselves so much. We got so many excuses as to why, God, I can't do this. But I am here today to tell you that God is calling you to a place of freedom. He is calling you to love your neighbors as you love yourself. He's calling you to reach out into a community where people are dying. He is calling Crown Hill to be that beacon in a community that's in need. It's amazing. I went from street lights to no street lights. Horses and buggies. I found and got to know this Amish family. They have 8 children and triplets. And every day the kids were coming over to my house when I had just moved there. And I didn't know what a rooster was. I never heard a rooster. I thought it was like some small child being attacked. Like, I didn't know what that sound was. But every morning, like clockwork, I was up. But every morning at 6 a.m., the kids came running to my door. And I said, good morning. It was good morning. We came to sing hymns to you. I'm sorry, excuse me. You know what time it is. I haven't even spoken to the Lord yet. And then they came back that evening. We came to sing hymns to you. And then I started working it. They came and they met me. We came to show you how to cut cookies properly. Well, God had just put me in Orville. Minister the gospel to those in churches. But the father was abusing the mother. And those kids were looking at my house as a place of escape. That is just how bad I am. I just got new furniture in the house. I didn't know that some people don't wear shoes. And they came in and they ran through the house and they jumped right on my couch. My new couch, y'all. With their little feet. And I said, okay, Jesus. And I remember them singing songs to me. I had to get back in the race because I didn't know what was going on until it was too late. And the little girl met me in the driveway and said, my parents need help. We're going away for a while. I had not stopped praying for them since. Who around you that is your neighbor that needs you? Are we missing the signs? Are we so out of the race and so far removed that we don't know how to love our neighbors and love one another? We're just looking within the four walls of the church. Crown Hill, you were called to more than that. You were called to reduce a different type of fruit. Crown Hill, you were called to unconditional love, to joy, to peace, to patience, to kindheartedness, to goodness, to faithfulness, to gentleness, to self-control. You were called to the opposite of the world. You were called to go into the schools and to pray for those children. You were called to pray for your street and to do prayer walks. You were called to go into the hospitals and to begin to heal. You were called in Jesus' name to do the impossible. You were called. Not just Pastor Thomas. You were called. Every man and every woman and every child in here has the hand of God on their life. And He's able to overcome anything that is troubling you and stopping you from moving forward
It ends with this in verse 25. Now, since we have chosen to walk with the Spirit, let's keep each step in perfect sync with God's Spirit. See, that is my closing prayer for you. And I just want to see by a raise of hands. Has anyone here chosen to walk with God? Just anybody? Has anyone in here decided that they want to keep in step, in perfect sync with God's Spirit? Anybody else want to do that besides me? I know this is different. And I know I may not get any responses. But I'm going to do as God tells me to do. I'm going to do an altar call. And if you don't want to come up here, I'll come to you. But I'm just going to simply ask, who is the lovely lady that plays the piano? Is that you? I know, I put people in spots. But I'll make it easy. Can you play Greatest Night Faithfulness for me? That's one of my favorite hymns. And see, God is faithful to help you overcome anything that may be challenging you, that's holding you back. But if we could just bow our heads, and I'm going to just ask, if there is someone here today who just simply needs prayer, and it doesn't even have to be for yourself, I want you to come. If there is anyone here who's ready to get back in the race and to run that race of faith and to say, God, here am I, use me, send me, I want you to come, and I won't tarry long. I know it's uncomfortable, but I'm not here to keep you in a place of comfortableness. I'm here to move you into that place of out of the box. Thank you. thank you for your children. I thank you for those that are here. I ask in Jesus' name that you let everyone here begin to stay in sync with your spirit. Let every step they take, Father God, be ordered from you. Protect your people. Watch over your children. Equip them and send them out. Strengthen them and let discouragement and worry and doubt be far from them. Lord, I ask that you begin to even fill the pews of this church up with those that are in need of a relationship with you. Let those here at Crown Hill be beacons of light, hands of healing, words of peace for them. I decree that no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper. Lord, I thank you for watching over their pastor and his family as they rest. Those that are out doing your will and your work, protect them. We thank you for your people. We ask all of these things in your Son's name, Jesus.